Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, what is the focus of your Christian devotion? Let me give you three options here. Maybe one of these fit. Number one, is it respecting Mary, the mother of Jesus? Or is it faithfully reading the portals of prayer? Or is it praying before every meal? There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but something else is more important, and in today's text, Jesus helped us know very simply, very clearly what that is. Let me share it one more time. The Bible says, as Jesus said amazing things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Our text today is from Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. So the woman in the crowd, she was putting her focus on Mary, the one who gave birth to Jesus and who nursed him. So she heard Jesus saying some remarkable things. She's giving credit to his mother. But Jesus turned the focus, I think, in an unexpected direction. Jesus could have said, yes, my mother was very important. That's how God brought me into the world. But now you should be focusing on me. What did John the Baptizer say at one point? I must decrease, Jesus must increase. So that would have been an answer I might have expected. But instead, it seems that Jesus basically said something like this. He said, don't focus on her and don't focus just on me. Instead, focus on being in a right relationship with me, I think is what he was saying. And then he might have said, what does such a relationship look like, you ask? This is what it looks like. It includes hearing the word of God and keeping it. That's really the direction I believe that Jesus was going in with that statement. So as we go on in our outline then for today's sermon, I want to look a little bit more carefully at the words that Jesus said there in verse 28. So a very literal translation of the Greek text there would be, blessed the ones hearing the word of God and keeping. Blessed the ones hearing the word of God and keeping. So that's really all the Greek text has. And then we have three key words I want to take a look at a little bit more carefully. So first of all, the word blessed is the Greek word makarioi. So I'm looking here in a Greek lexicon, and this would be the definition of that Greek word. So blessed, fortunate, happy, usually in the sense of the privileged recipient of divine favor. So why are people blessed, fortunate, happy? Because God is finding favor with them. Does that mean that's a favor that God's finding because of a quality in them? No, it's a favor that God is finding because of who God is, not because who the person is. So Jesus loves us, and he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be fortunate. He wants us to be happy. And then he identified two important ingredients in that. The two important ingredients would be hearing the word of God and keeping it. The next word we have would be the word akouantes. So we translate hearing, but some other ways to think about that word according to the Greek lexicon, that means heed, listen to, understand. So the hearing that we're talking about here is more than simply a sound entering the ear. That was a sound entering the ear, but that's not really hearing as Jesus is talking about here with hearing the word of God and keeping it. So he's talking about a hearing that must be in the form of words, and the words must be rightly understood. If they're not rightly understood, we can't act upon them in a right way. So that would be included here too. Now we have one more key word, and that would be the Greek word phylosyntes. Not that you need to know how to pronounce it, but according to the lexicon, that could be translated keep, observe, follow as a law. For people who know Jesus, they have new hearts. So I told you last Sunday that years ago, I had a heart transplant. Not a physical heart transplant, but a spiritual heart transplant. All people who know Jesus have had such a heart transplant. So they have new hearts, those who know Jesus, and then upon understanding what he says from that new heart, they desire to follow through on it. That's a great change that God has worked in us. So regarding hearing the word of God, I want to share some passages with you, and I picked a couple passages that would be a type of bad hearing of the word of God, and a couple passages that would be a good hearing of the word of God. So first of all, on a bad hearing, we take a look at Mark chapter 7. And in this situation here, Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition, thus making void the word of God by your tradition." So what they did is they made up their own man-made rules, and they put their man-made rules over the word of God. So they said, this man-made rule, that cancels out the word of God. That's a horrible thing to do. Nothing in the world should ever be above the word of God. In fact, the word of God should be up here, and that should cancel out many man-made things. It should never be the other way around. So we have a sad face with that one. We never want to be that way. We never want to scheme in our own hearts and minds and say, well, the Bible says this, but this other thing makes sense, so that means I don't need to listen to what the Bible says because this thing makes more sense over here. That is never, ever what God wants us to do. God wants us to respect him. We respect him by respecting his word, by believing what it says, and no matter how crazy it might sound, God wants us to know it is true, know it is best, step out in faith and put it into practice. I praise God for all of you who are doing that exact thing, that you're reading that word, even though it's a hard word sometimes, you know it is true, you know it is best, and boy, you're stepping out in faith and you're doing it because you have your confidence in the Almighty God, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. In the next passage here, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 13. And Paul and Barnabas said to the Jews in Antioch, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." So the problem in the world today and back then, the problem is never that God has not provided the way for everyone to heaven. The problem isn't even that the word of God hasn't gone out to everyone. The problem is when people hear the word, because of their own sinfulness, their own wrong way of thinking, they tend to thrust that word aside and they hang on to what they think is best. A very sad situation. May God grant that that would never be true for us and for our loved ones. And then some good hearing of the word of God. So over in Luke chapter 5, the Bible says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, what did he have to do? He got into a boat and he taught from there. In other words, there were so many people and they were right up against him. He kind of got backed right up to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, saw a couple boats there, got in the boat, and then got offshore a little bit just to kind of make a buffer zone between him and the people. But why is that a good situation? Because He was teaching the Word of God, and this multitude, they wanted to get close, and they wanted to hear that Word of God. What a wonderful thing. May God help us to be that way too. I put a reference there to the third commandment explanation. You know, think about it. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. That's how God wants us to be. He wants us to gladly hear and learn it. I'll let you look up Acts 17 on your own. Another wonderful passage where people were gladly wanting to hear the word of God. And then we have another good kind of hearing in Hebrews chapter 4. A little bit different kind of a situation here. But this passage identifies the work that God is doing through his word. I just have part of the passage here, but I have enough to give you the gist of it. The Bible says, the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what's going on? When we open the Word of God, this is the living and active Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is working through that Word of God, and it is judging our thoughts, it is judging our intentions. And we should let God's Word have his way with us. Sometimes people will read the Word of God, and it's trying to work on them, and they want to kind of shut the book and put it down and say, I'm going to pretend like I never even read that. Is that how we should be? By no means. We want to rather say, okay, God, you're doing some surgery here and you're really digging deep into me. And that hurts a little bit. But I know that there's some kind of sin, some kind of wrong, some kind of cancer in there. And I know you're going to dig it out. And I know it's the best thing. And I'm going to let you have your way. I'm going to let you do that. So God wants to work in us by his Spirit through his word in order to make us more and more the people that he wants us to be in Jesus Christ. So those are different things with hearing the word of God. Then what about keeping the word of God? Jesus is talking about blessed are those who hear the word of God. So we're hearing, we want to hear. It's a hearing with proper understanding. But that's not the end, though. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So to keep it is to do it, in a sense. So what do we have here? Keep in mind as I get into this section that all these different things are never, ever how we get to heaven. But these are all things that result from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. In letter A, we're here in Luke chapter 8, and Jesus used these words to identify the members of his family. So his mother and his brothers, they come to the house, and word is given to Jesus, hey, your mother and your brothers, they're outside. That's when Jesus makes this statement. He said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So even his very own mother, even his very own brothers, he was saying, hey, that's not important. Flesh and blood relatives aren't important. What's important would be those who are spiritual relatives. Who are those people? Those are the people who know my word and do it. Going to the next one, we go to John chapter 14. We receive God's love in all kinds of ways. Love is action. So all the different ways in which God has acted toward us in making us and providing for us, these are all ways that God has loved us. But especially when we receive God's love in the person of Jesus Christ, that is what makes the difference, that we then respond by loving him in return. So Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, he was saying, if you know me as Savior and Lord, that means you have that heart transplant, and that means from that new heart, now you're going to desire to want to keep my commandments. Going to letter C then, when Christian leaders keep the word of God as they live their lives, and especially when they keep it even unto being put to death because of what they believe, those kind of people are good examples for us. So looking there at Philippians chapter 4, Paul used these words to encourage those who knew him. Now, he did not yet die, but we know eventually he would die because of his relationship with Christ. But notice what Paul wrote there in Philippians 4:9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul was saying, I have been living in a godly way, and you can follow my example. Does that mean Paul was living a perfect life? It doesn't. But it means he was living as best he could to honor his Savior. And when he fell short, then he was sorry for those sins. He was looking to Jesus, and he knew that he had already God's gift of forgiveness. So Paul was saying, you've learned from me, you've received from me, you've heard from me, you've seen it in my own life, so put these things into practice. In the book of Hebrews, it has this advice in chapter 13. Remember your leaders and those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We're not 100% sure here, but it seems that this outcome of their way of life, it seems that that's talking about leaders who continued to teach the word of God and to live the word of God, and eventually, because of it, they were put to death because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. So during the time they were living, they lived for Christ, and they went all the way to death, and they continued in Christ all the way to the end. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, imitate their faith. Be that way too. As you live now, live for Christ. And even if someone tries to put you to death for the sake of Christ, don't back down, don't run away. But if that is God's will, let them even do that. And don't stop hanging on to Christ no matter what. And then finally here in letter D, let's understand that being welcomed into heaven has everything to do with knowing Jesus, whose work is done, and entering into heaven has nothing to do with how we live. It's so important to make that distinction. So getting into heaven has everything to do with the finished work of Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with him, and nothing to do with how we live. But some may ask, how do I know that I know Jesus? How do I know that I know Jesus? I give you three answers here. Number one, when we understand the phrase, I am baptized, that's one of the ways that we know Jesus. So what does that mean? I am baptized. That means that I am still clothed in the righteousness of God that I received in baptism through my Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a past event, it's a present reality, because I am still clothed in Christ. That means I still have what I need for God to welcome me into heaven. So that's one of the ways that we know that we know. And then number two, when the Holy Spirit makes that known to us, how does he do that? He does that through the Bible. So as we are reading the Bible with an open heart and an open mind, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he's impressing upon us, yes, that we are sinners. He's making us sorry for those sins. He's pointing us to Jesus Christ, and he's also impressing upon us that we, in fact, are the very children of God through Jesus. So when we're not quite sure, what is the remedy? Hey, dig into the Word of God, and God will impress that wonderful reality upon you. And then finally, in number three here, John also wrote in 1 John chapter 2, He wrote, "By this we know that we have come to know him," talking about coming to know Jesus, "by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." So keeping the commandments are not how we know him, but it's a way that we know him. So with my human body, if I'm thinking to myself, "I'm not quite sure now, has my body died or is it still alive yet? I'm not quite sure. What is one way that I know that it's still living? Hey, I'm able to talk. I'm able to move my hands. That means my body's still alive." So when there is this evidence in our lives that we are keeping his commandments, that's pointing back to the fact that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's not saving us, it's just pointing back to the fact that we are in a saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are some ways we can know that we know our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to know that. One final passage I'll share, I didn't put it in here, but one of my favorite ones on that topic would be in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, "And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." God wants us to know this for sure. He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be filled with joy. If you're not quite sure, let's talk about it further. But God wants us to know. He wants us to rejoice. And that joy is going to be such a blessing to us every day. And that joy is going to move us in ways that are going to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that by grace, by the love of God the Father, by the work of the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with your holy word, thank you that we know you. Thank you for giving us the ability to rightly hear you. Thank you for showing us how important your word is. Now, going forward, encourage us, strengthen us, motivate us to show our thanksgiving for the blessings of this life and especially for the blessings of heaven by seeking to honor you in all our ways. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. This is our Wednesday schedule, services at 11 and 7, free meals at noon and 6. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.